Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another wonderful day that He has made and the glorious wonders that He's doing in and among His people. You know, when I think about among the phrase among His people, when the Lord was around His people, especially when they acquired the knowledge of God, He teach them. One scripture says, blessed be your ears, for you heard things that others wanted to hear and they didn't hear them. In your eyes, you see things that they desired to see and didn't see them. And He was talking about the Old Testament prophets. You know, they didn't get to see the end result of what they prophesied. Only in burst of visions would they see it. But, and sometimes their understanding was not fulfilled. They didn't understand the whole of what they'd done. Because remember, in those days, the Lord was hiding what He was doing from His enemies. And He still does. All the enemies of God, they don't know what God is doing. But among His people, He show it to us. He show us burst of visions like He did those prophets. And I thank God for the things that He told me about, that He's doing among His people. And so the enemy don't really know how to counterattack what He's doing because he can't see it. And it's so much fun to know this, you know. That's why it's so important for you to trust the Lord. You know, I once interviewed a guy on the radio who worked with me, and a lot of people heard the broadcast. And see, there's no way to know who listens and who don't. We broadcast, and it goes out through half the state of Alabama. We don't know who listens and who don't. But he said, man, since I did that interview with you, people been calling me saying they heard me on the radio. He said, I ain't know that many people listen to your broadcast. I said, oh, a lot of people listen. And most of the people you're not going to hear from anyway. That's just a fraction is what you'll hear from. But anyway, and when he walked away, the Lord told me, he said, it just came to me that the Lord needs more submarine captains. And see, the reason that he put it that way is because a submarine captain can't see. You know, they drive underwater by sound. They come up and get a vision, and then they go back under for months. And they there, and they got weapons on board that can destroy just about any country on the planet. And they're there as a deterrent, and they work. And people know they work, so they are a viable deterrent from people, and it keeps people that would start wars at bay, because they don't want the problems that's going to follow when that tornado launches those nuclear missiles. Now, any submarine captain, he can't see where he's going. He doesn't. There's no visible way to know how important he is. But he's out there. And then when he needs to see something, he comes up and he gets a vision. And then he goes back underwater. Well, he's there listening for orders. And that's why the Lord put on my heart, he needs more submarine captains. People who can operate and do what they're supposed to do without a continual vision. Without continual encouragement. Because when you're obeying the Holy Spirit, you're connected to a greater work than what you can ask, think, or imagine. And you play a very important part. Though it may be small to you, it's necessary to God. So whatever God gives you to do, be encouraged to do it. And just like David encouraged himself in the Lord, if you know you're obeying what the Lord told you to do, just keep doing it. Encourage yourself in the Lord, and you'll get all of what's lost back. You'll win the loss. You'll go to heaven with treasure, and you'll take many people with you, many families. And I thank God for it. This is a privilege. This is a gift. This is not something that I could come. You know, the things that God gave me to do, it's not something that I came up with at all. But I do things directed by Him. Now, the things that I would direct to do, it wouldn't have worked like what He directs me to do. Because everything is well thought out. Even things that I don't know are necessary are well, it's formatted. And when I obey the format, I'm actually doing what I should be doing in God's eyes. And even the format itself, I wouldn't have vision for it. You know, I can do a work that I really don't have vision for. But I can be obedient. If I can be obedient, I can do a greater work than what I can perceive. So can you. And I thank the Lord for that. Now, last time we ended with 1 Samuel chapter 31. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to use those scriptures for a reference to show that when people are, we've been talking about people who are anointed. Sometimes we put anointed people on a pedestal as if they can't fall. But King Saul was anointed, and he did fall, and he failed, and he tried to kill David, kill 85 priests in the town they came from. He did wickedness, and then he saw the witch, and then he died. Now, I mentioned earlier before how in another broadcast that when there's spiritual wealth on your life, Saul just couldn't be taken out of his position in one day, because he did do some of the things God told him, and he had spiritual wealth on his life. David wouldn't even kill him. He knew not to kill him. But he said the Lord would move you out of the way. That's God's job, not mine. And I know for a fact Saul would have been king a lot longer if he didn't seek that witch when he was trying to catch up with Samuel. When the Lord wouldn't answer him, he was seeking. He wanted to talk to Samuel, and he went to a witch, and you can't do that. That, you know, Moses gave strict orders inspired by the Lord not to do that, and he did it anyway. Now, this is the parable of this. When people are lukewarm, they can't be trusted. They have a reputation of loving God, but they also love the world somewhere, and their love for the world will cause them to live in a compromised position or a compromised condition. And compromised people can't be trusted. In a war, if the soldiers that have compromised, you can't trust them. They may let you get killed. They may kill you themselves. They may not shoot the enemy because they are compromised. If you're any kind of soldier, you can't afford to have compromised soldiers around you, and you can't afford to be compromised yourself. You have to be all in. It's better if you're all in or all out. But a compromised soldier is more dangerous to his own platoon than the enemy, because the platoon trusts this guy, and he's compromised. He may lead them down a path and they all get shot. It just depends on why he's compromised and how compromised he is. And you see with King Saul, when he fell in love with the position more than God, he couldn't be trusted by God. And when the Lord told Samuel to fire him, and he acknowledged it, repented God that he made you king, when he fired him, this is what the Lord was looking at. This is what the Lord saw in his future because he had compromised. And he told King Saul, I anointed a neighbor that's better than you. See, the Lord wished we were hot or cold. And it almost doesn't matter. He'd rather for you to be hot or cold than lukewarm. Ultimately, he'd rather for you to be hot. But if you're compromised, he'd rather for you to take sides. Now, either live for me or hate me. Either love me or hate me. But because people are lukewarm, he's going to spit them out of their mouth. He's going to give them over to their own desires. In fact, when the Lord told him his plan, it made him mad. It made him more of an enemy. Or he could have just surrendered and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to fight this. I was wrong and I know it. He could have repented. And he would have stayed alive. He could have stepped down. But his pride wouldn't let him do it. Because sin when you choose to sin, sin becomes your master. And when people love the ways of this world, they can't repent because they love the world. You got to come to a point where you don't trust the world anymore. And you fear God more than you do the world. You know, Moses, he didn't want to live in the luxury of and enjoy sin for a season. He wanted the heart of God. He wanted to do everything God's way. He wanted to live the heritage of his people. He didn't want to use people at his own expense and live in pleasure and die and go to hell. He didn't want that. And then they had their false gods to soothe you into believing that you're going to live anyway, even if you do wrong. You know, the enemy give you excuses and false hope. But that's how, but Moses knew that that was just a bald-faced lie. And he didn't want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Remember, he was raised as a prince of Egypt. He was raised as the king's own son, because he was raised by the king's daughter. So you got to look at this for what it is. You got to, people that don't know whether they want to get saved or not because they love this world, they made a choice. They will go to hell because they didn't choose Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord takes it personally. That's why in the book of Revelation, he comes back to destroy and judge the world and end the reign of man, because they did not believe on his only begotten son. And he's going to come back fighting all the people, all of them, that rejected Jesus Christ. And every religion that rejected Jesus Christ pours in the mind of people. And all of our friends and loved ones that wouldn't get saved because they love this world, they're going to be destroyed. And all the church members who look back at the world and walk that way, they're going to be destroyed, spit out and destroyed. And they'll probably be the first in line to take the mark of the beast. Because people that know better and walk away from the Lord, they are worse than those who didn't come in the first place. At least they know that they knew, they have memory that God is good. And they walked away from that back to the trash of this world, the dump heap of the world, like a dog going back to his vomit. Now, people that never been saved, they don't know what they're missing. The devil got some of them believing we just superstitious. Superstitious people don't build churches and go and do all the dedicated things that people who love God do. The most superstitious people, they live in dark, in places where there is no light. They do stuff like that too. They'll live a dedicated life. They build temples and mosques and all these to all these foreign gods and false gods and false religions. And they call God Allah and this and that. All that's a man. It has nothing. You can't live. There's no plan of redemption in no other religion except for faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to believe that He is the only begotten Son of God. You got to believe that His holy blood washed away your sins, and you got to believe that He arose from the dead to justify you. Why? If He didn't rise from the dead, then He's just like the rest of them. But He rose from the dead because He was sinless. When He rose from the dead, that proves that He was sinless. He said, "I lay my life down and I take it up again," and that's exactly what happened. He laid His life down and He took it up again. They couldn't kill Him. He laid His life down. It looked like they killed Him. And that was just a dog and pony show for the wicked. But He did it. And they believed that He was a sinner. But He got up. And then the guards lied on Him, took a bribe and lied on Him. And said that His own people stole Him at night. When people want to believe a lie so that they can live in sin, they will gladly believe that lie. But we see Christians who truly believe, they have an inner witness of the Holy Spirit of all these things. We have the guidance that's pure from the Holy Spirit. we have a peace that we did not have before. And see, lukewarm people, they don't cherish those things. They walk away from it, go back to the world, they play with the world. I've heard of preachers who have girlfriends, they go out of town and sin and come back and preach, act like it's all right. One guy told me that, he asked me about having a side girlfriend. I said, no, you go to hell. He said, well, this preacher said it was all right. I said, he going to hell too. Lukewarm people that cannot be trusted. They just as bad or worse than the enemy is. And they fall for the same reasons. What's the difference in what Saul did and what Lucifer did? The biggest, with Lucifer, he had more knowledge, but Saul had enough evidence not to do that. He knew God was good. He knew the cause of God. He fought for it before, just like Lucifer did at first. But he made a decision against God and against the heart of God and did wickedness and even killed the priest. You think God's going to let that bloody man be king over Israel? No. No. He fired him. And the same danger is in the bosom of those that are lukewarm. They're half-hearted and they cannot be trusted. God can't trust them. He sent people to warn them and get them out of danger, and they wouldn't listen. So he gonna spit them out. Now let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 1. You know, we need this illustration. A lot of people won't preach like this because there's a strong love for the world. Okay. Verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes torn, rent, and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said to the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me, and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said to me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said to me, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live. After that, he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was upon his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord. And David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted till even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said to him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Evidently the Amalekite boy or guy, the guy told him that he slew the Lord's anointed, because he said it in verse 16. It's saying that he said, I have slain the Lord's anointed. All right, verse 18. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistine rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountain of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, and the shield of Saul. And though he had not been anointed with oil, let me read verse 21 again. Ye mountain of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, and from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, for the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle, O Jonathan? Thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? Now David said all these things over them. But you see how the wickedness of Saul worked against him. It even caused his own son to get killed. Saul's leadership was not the same after he sought that witch and after he killed the priest. He built spiritual debt up on his life by doing those things, and his life was shortened. You know, when you follow God, everything you do is sowing. You continue to do things God's way, you're continually sowing, and spiritual wealth is on your life. And that caused him to, the first day God fired him, he was still in office, he was still alive. You know, God didn't say he was going to die. He said he was going to replace him with an neighbor that's better than him. But he should have repented. He wouldn't repent. So when the Lord put him out of office, it was because he wouldn't repent and he couldn't be trusted. He said he would have been established if he had obeyed. But a lukewarm person would not obey God. Though they have a name for it, though they have the prestige of it, though people think they're in position. They're in a position, but God is not with them because they turn their heart away. Now, we need to see these illustrations because all this is real. This is what happened. This is history. This already happened. And David avenged Saul's blood because he was anointed. And the Amalekite boy said that he killed him. The lad said that he killed him. He said he killed God's anointed. He knew he was anointed and killed him. So this is... And then David avenged his blood and killed that Amalekite, which all the Amalekites were supposed to be killed anyway. Some of them got away. And we know at least 400 got away when they took the stuff from David. But and that became a problem. God wanted that whole nation gone because of what they had done and because their witchcraft and their devil worship. They were just wrong. They were not. God had to protect the covenant. See, when he made that covenant with Father Abraham, and Abraham gave his own begotten son, Isaac, then nothing was going to stop God from giving his only begotten son. And anything that would be a threat got destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. The Amalekites were commanded to be destroyed. And every enemy destroyed. Everyone that fought, you know, the Lord destroyed them in battle or with famine. Now, and this had to happen because Jesus had to come. And he had to come through a pure people. People that would do right. And you know, I'm not afraid to tell people that how dangerous lukewarm people are. Because the world looks at them, they're in the place of Jesus. And they're acting like the world. And they do more harm than good. Jesus once said that if you don't build with me, you scatter. They never keep covenant. They always fall short somewhere. They don't. They won't do exactly what God say. And they represent him wrong. But people who love God, they don't do those. They do what's right. Whatever the Lord give them to do, they make it happen. Because they love God from the heart. And the Lord can use people that love him. Whatever the works that he some people look at themselves and say, well, I'm not smart enough. I haven't been educated enough. But God can still use you mightily because you love him. If you love God, he can, whatever he give you to do, boldly do it because it's going to work. It's going to make the difference. You don't have to know everything. If you can mix faith with the words that he say and obey him, that alone will make the difference. And sometimes he want to use people that don't know things because it shows that God did this. You know, when the religious leaders didn't want when Peter and John healed a lame man, and they said and they got reprimanded by the priest not to speak anymore in that name. They said, we can't bespeak the name of Jesus. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and the lame man standing there healed, they could say nothing against him. And they took knowledge that he'd been with Jesus. The religious institution of this world, they don't like the kind love of God. They don't like restoration of people. They'd rather see a man die in his disease than to walk and be healed and represent the love of God. Because either they're lukewarm or they just love it. Everybody that loves the world, they get offended when you get healed. They get offended when God do handiwork in your life and help you. That, so when people get healed, some people they know that they're gonna have a spiritual attack from people that don't love God when they get out of that wheelchair. When the Lord do a wheelchair miracle and people get up and start walking that nobody expected to walk anymore, or people walk away from a deathbed and they recover, gain their weight back, some people get offended. But true people they're happy. Some people repent and they want to serve the God who heals. They want to serve El Shaddai, God who heals. They want to serve the Lord. They want to serve Jesus Christ. They want to know more about him because he first loved them and they know it. He raised mama up from a deathbed and they are thankful. He healed daddy and now he can live long and back in health and strong like he used to be. And they love God for that. But people that love this world, they always get upset. But the religious institution, they do the same works that Saul did. Lukewarm people, they want to have a form of godliness but no power. That's the persuasion of the Pharisees. See, the people died out that nailed Jesus to the cross. But the spirit behind it all, the spirit of Saul and the spirit of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Pharisees is still here. And it's always looking to attack, always trying to find a way in. And you have to drive all that evil away from you, just like the Jews were supposed to drive the Canaanites out of Canaan land and possess all the land that God gave Father Abraham. And some of that land is in Iraq. The borders go all the way to Iraq, and they never possessed all of that land. So because of this, because they let some of the Canaanites remain, it became a problem and a snare. They became like thorns in their side and smoke in their eyes. They became a problem. And now many Jews, they are blinded. Isaiah had to blind them because God doesn't want the wrong kind of people representing him, just like he don't want the church of Laodicea. If they don't go hot and stop being lukewarm, God was going to spit them out. And the same reason he fired Saul. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. Till next time, remember, I love you, God love you, and Jesus is.